Good evening. It is 6 p.m. This is Wednesday, June 30th, 2010, and the City Council will come back from recess. Hi, Carla. How are you?
I'm good.
You enjoying the weather?
I am.
Good. Can you please call the roll?
Fish, Saltzman, Leonard.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Adams.
Here. Quorum is present. The council will come to order. Can you please read the council calendar item of a report number 999?
Accept Annual Report 2009 by the Independent Police Review Division.
Pleased to welcome Auditor LaVon Griffin Belay.
Good evening. City Auditor LaVon Griffin Belay here to introduce the annual report for calendar year 2009 of the Independent Police Review Division in my office. So I'll keep my remarks very brief because I want to allow plenty of time for staff to talk about the work that they accomplished this year. Since the program began in 2002, IPR has undergone a number of changes, primarily to improve the efficiency and responsiveness of the organization, but also to more effectively reach out to the community. The annual report before you is a snapshot of IPR outcomes in calendar year 2009. It includes relevant trends demonstrating areas of success and areas where we need to continue our efforts to improve. Our goal this year was to streamline the report and make it more readable and thus more widely read. We met with and surveyed a broad spectrum of folks, including council staff, members of the Citizen Review Committee, several other community members, police bureau staff, to ask for feedback on the annual report in the format we've used in the past, and we surveyed them in a variety of ways, but we wanted to find out what they found important and what they felt was extraneous information or what they viewed as necessary or unnecessary or clear or confusing. And so since, again, our goal was to make this, to streamline it and make it more readable, we cropped from 62 pages in the 2008 report to 39 pages in the 2009 report. And we were, even by doing that, able to retain most of the significant information by combining several figures into a single table or by pointing readers to our website. We are also available to discuss any questions or concerns that folks may have about information that was in the report in the past and is not appearing in the same format as in the current report. So, lastly, I want to thank the hardworking staff at IPR. They put in long hours. They're very dedicated to this work. I'm very proud of the staff that we have in the Office of the Independent Police Review. And I'm going to introduce four members of the staff who will do the bulk of the presentation and answer your questions. First, Mary Beth Baptista, who is the director, Constantine Severe, who is the assistant director, Derek Reinke, who is the program analyst, and Irene Konev, who is our community outreach coordinator.
Good evening. Welcome back.
Good evening. I'm confident that Irene will be here momentarily.
All right. We run a tight ship here. We're starting on time.
Well, I'm Mary Beth Baptista, and I'm the director of the Independent Police Review Division. The Auditor's Independent Police Review Division is an impartial oversight agency under the authority of the independently elected city auditor. City Council created IPR in 2001 to improve police accountability, promote higher standards of police service, and increase public confidence. As council members know, IPR is monitored and advised by a 9-member Citizen Review Committee, which you appoint. On May 27th, the Auditor's Independent Police Review Division released the 2009 annual report. This is IPR's 7th annual report to the public. Complaint and intake processing data for 2009 are detailed in this report, as are major policy and program changes. There's Irene. IPR has 5 primary responsibilities. We receive complaints and commendations. We monitor and participate in ongoing administrative investigations by the Portland Police Bureau and conduct joint or independent investigations. We report on complaint and investigation activities and recommend policy changes to prevent future complaints and address patterns of misconduct. We hire qualified experts to review closed investigations of officer-involved shootings and in-custody deaths. We coordinate appeals filed by members of the community as well as Portland police officers who are dissatisfied with the outcome of administrative investigations. Additionally, IPR conducts outreach to the community to hear concerns and build community trust. IPR has 10 staff members to fulfill those core responsibilities. To fulfill our primary responsibility of receiving and processing complaints, we have 2 full-time and 1 part-time investigators. IPR investigators conduct an initial investigation of all complaints received about Portland Police Bureau members. The initial investigations they conduct are extensive. They involve an interview, usually in person, with the complainant and any citizen witness. Each interview is recorded and a summary is transcribed. IPR investigators also gather evidence, including photographs, medical records, police records, including 911, dispatch recordings and reports, as well as police reports. That material is put together in a case file to inform my and the assistant director, Constantine Severe's, screening decisions. After a review of this initial investigation, Constantine and I either ask for additional investigation from IPR investigators or find that we have sufficient information to make a case handling decision. A second part-time assistant director, Pete Sanrock, assists Constantine and I with our second responsibility of monitoring and participating in ongoing administrative investigations. We meet weekly with the IAD captain and lieutenant and other IAD staff to discuss individual cases and assure that cases are moving through the system in a timely manner and receive an explanation if they are not. We also coordinate which cases IPR leadership will participate in regarding interviews, and further, we receive the completed investigations for review prior to them being sent to a supervisor for them to make their recommended findings. In approximately 1/4 of the cases, we return that investigation to the Internal Affairs to conduct either additional investigation or clarify or amend their investigative summary. We also receive the supervisor's recommended findings and have the authority to challenge those findings and trigger a hearing before what was then called a performance or force review board. In 2009, we were advisory members of that board, meaning we did not vote on that board, but were present during the case presentation as well as deliberation. Derek Ranke is our senior management analyst. He is key to the next obligation, which is to report on complaint and investigation activities and recommend policy changes to prevent those future complaints and address patterns of misconduct. An example of his work was in July of 2009, IPR released a progress report and analysis of the Bureau's progress on implementing recommendations regarding the Bureau's use of force and use of force policies. He also included in this report was current data on trends of use of force within the Bureau. Derek also staffs several Citizen Review Committee work groups and assist them with data collection, analysis, and reporting. Examples of that include our desperate treatment report that was presented to council, CRC's desperate treatment report that was presented to council earlier this month, and the follow-up report to the Police Assessment Resource Center recommendations to the Bureau that will be presented to council next month. Carol Kirshner and Marilyn Shepard are our office support. They are the glue that keeps us together. They work very closely with the CRC to coordinate appeals filed by members of the community, and officers who are dissatisfied with the outcome of their administrative investigations. This year, that was quite a task. In 2009, CRC saw several more appeals than they did in 2008. 8 appeals were filed in 2009. 2 major changes occurred in 2009 with respect to the 2 remaining responsibilities of IPR. First, City Auditor LaVon Griffin-Vallade decided to hire an expert to evaluate the closed internal police investigation of the in-custody death of James Chassie. This was a shift from past practice. Past practice was to wait until the civil litigation was done. We made a decision that it was imperative that we have these reviews in a timely manner, and so we launched that review prior to the end of the civil litigation. Second, we completely overhauled our efforts to reach out to the Portland community in 2009. We commissioned a community outreach plan that was finalized in January of 2009 and then hired an outreach coordinator, Irene Konev, who was hired in March of 2009. She immediately went to work to reach out to the community, listen to concerns, and build trust. I feel these efforts have already been very beneficial to IPR and the public. And now that I've introduced you to everyone, I'm going to turn this over to Irene to discuss her outreach efforts and outcomes in her first year.
Hello, my name is Irene Conniff. Hello, Mayor Adams and Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fritz, and Commissioner Leonard. So basically, in terms of building trust, we find that historically marginalized communities often have less trust of police oversight, so outreach efforts have increased to cultivate and strengthen relationships with many groups representing these communities. IPR police oversight system was promoted at the state, county, and local levels through community fairs, events, and staff meetings at community-based organizations. Specifically, IPR built trust relationships with organizations representing the non-majority community that was once very reluctant to work with IPR. With creative and consistent contact, explanation of IPR's commendation complaint process, support of its activities, and follow-up on complaints sent to IPR, these same organizations now refer complaints to IPR and call the outreach coordinator our ally at IPR. Another example of trust building in non-majority communities was a presentation that was made to 90 immigrant and refugee community organization staff members. This event led to meetings with other directors of programs such as Youth Transitions, Africa House, and Asian Family Services, as well as at meetings and presentations with the community that these organizations serve. IPR staff and CRC members often go out with the outreach coordinator into the community to help build trust. For example, intake investigator Mike Hess, who speaks Spanish, made presentations in Spanish to the Hispanic community, and the CRC have often attended presentations with IPR, specifically to hear community concerns. Just today, one such organization acting as a bridge to IPR asked us to take a complaint in their space where the complainant already feels safe and has an interpreter. These bridges are built at several other organizations. Last year, these same organizations did not respond to any contact from IPR, or they did not know that IPR existed. The measure of success is seeing how many organizations are not only willing to work with IPR in comparison to past years, but actually trust us and seek our services and assistance. Outreach coordinator is routinely asked to attend events, meetings, and to expand and promote IPR. Some examples that the communities we've worked with: African American, African, Native American, Hispanic, Asian, Muslim, Slavic, youth, homeless, domestic violence and sexual assault community, sexual minority community, developmentally delayed and the mental illness community, faith community. Increased diversity on CRC, significant efforts were made to broaden the scope of outreach to attain a more culturally diverse pool of CRC recruits in 2009. Approximately 150 letters were sent out to elected officials, community-based organizations, businesses, judges, Portland Police Bureau command staff, interested community members, and volunteer coordinators of sexual assault agencies. 3 ads were purchased by IPR, and 6 were donated by community newspapers. Recruitment opportunities were utilized in personal contacts, emails, and telephone calls, as well as on the website. The 4 new members who joined CRC are a reflection of those outreach efforts and are representative of Portland's cultural diversity. Biographies of the current CRC members are maintained on the IPR website. A new CRC member orientation program was also designed, which includes 6 hours of intercultural competence training, direct connection to community-based organizations, and an on-site training at Internal Affairs Division. Increased cultural competence and IPR staff and CRC members. Upon being hired in March of last year, one of my first projects, in addition to implementing the outreach plan, was to coordinate a 12-hour intercultural competence training for IPR staff members, which covered oppression theory, racism, intercultural competence, personal leadership, and best practices. This training strengthened IPR staff skills to actively engage with others in ending oppression in the context of daily work at IPR to enhance communication with the public. Today, IPR routinely engages in holding each other accountable and adopting inclusive language. I thank City Council and the leadership of IPR for this wonderful opportunity. It has been both challenging and rewarding.
Next, I'm going to turn the presentation over to who I internally call our numbers guy, the senior management analyst, Derek Ranke, to give an overview of the data that's presented in the report.
So good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Derek Reinke, Management Analyst with the Intermittent Police Review Division. I'll just give you a few of the data highlights and trends in the report, and then we can discuss more of them later with questions if need be. The number of complaints filed by community members in 2009 continued a downward trend. There were 405 complaints received in 2009, which was 47% fewer than in 2005. It's important to note, as the report continues on, that the report doesn't detail what happened entirely to those 2009 complaints. If that were true, I'd have to wait and come back to present to you guys in December of this year, or maybe even in 2011. Instead, what the report does is say what happened at the system in each stage in 2009. So there's a table later on that talks about IPR decisions. Those are all decisions that were made in 2009, but some of those might be on complaints that came in the door in 2008. And that goes, as you continue to go further downstream, that becomes more and more true, where IED decisions made in 2009, a lot of those were on 2008 cases. Maybe even a 2007 case is not sustained or something until 2009. So each of the tables throughout the report is really based on the year that decision or action was made at that stage in the complaint system. In terms of things coming in the door, we give a snapshot every year to readers of the most common allegations. For 2009 and for the last couple of years, the most common allegation has been rude behavior or language from community complaints. There were 106 complaints with at least one allegation of rudeness. And then in the appendix of the report, we include more full detailed accounting of all allegations by category for those that want to pore over that level of detail. In terms of IPR case handling decisions, IPR dismissed 226 complaints in 2009, most commonly because the complaining party's description of the action did not violate a bureau policy. That's a 60% dismissal rate, a percentage that's basically on par with past years. And the IPR office referred 140 complaints, or 37%, to the Bureau's Internal Affairs Division. And when I get those percentages, you'll see I'm using a denominator of 375, which is less than the 405 that came in the door. Again, that's that kind of time lag. So they're decisions made in 2009 rather than decisions on 2009 cases. In terms of IED decisions, we saw a slight uptick in the percentage of complaints that were handled as service improvement opportunities rather than as a full investigation in 2009. Commanders and managers recommended sustained findings in 22% of the 58 investigations they reviewed, which is down from a peak in 2006, but is roughly at the longer-term average. In terms of Bureau-initiated complaints, police Bureau members reported twice the number of complaints in 2009 as they had a couple of years previously. These complaints, the Bureau generated, tend to contain more serious allegations like unprofessional behavior or untruthfulness rather than something like rudeness, and they have a higher likelihood of being sustained downstream. Force complaints is one of the most important things we track and follow closely. Force complaints have leveled off after dropping more than 50% from 2005 to 2008. There were 51 combined Bureau and community complaints of force in 2009. There was 50 in 2008, while there were over 100 per year from 2002 to 2005. As Mary Beth stated, in July of 2009, we released a follow-up report that the Force Task Force, which included IPR, CRC, and Police Bureau members, released a follow-up report which studied the Bureau's compliance with 16 recommendations that were all aimed at reducing uses of force and force complaints. In terms of discipline, another highlight, formal corrective action was taken against 23 members of the Bureau, including termination. Another 5 resigned or retired while there was a pending complaint against them. This is down slightly from previous years, but actually that table understates the overall discipline that's handed out by the Police Bureau because it doesn't account for discipline from general performance reviews. It's just specifically from things that were complaint generated. And there also doesn't account for discipline that's sometimes given out for multiple vehicle crashes, which can lead to some discipline. So it actually understates the overall discipline.
Could you give me those numbers again, please?
Yeah, it's 23 corrective action against 23 members, and then another 5 resigned or retired while there was a pending complaint. So we can't say that the Bureau officially doled out discipline if it was, kind of on their own behalf. And then that actually understates, because there is some more discipline that is handed out based on an emerging performance issue with a particular officer, might lead to a performance review, which isn't a complaint. It isn't part of the complaint system. That would be something more that the Professional Standards Office could speak to. And then I also know that there's a vehicle collision review board that also can get into discipline at times, and that's not accounted for in the IPR table. On the issue of timeliness, performance on many of the timeliness measures worsened this last year compared to their goals. I've got concerns that these performance measures of timeliness are pretty flawed. I think we need a better understanding of the actual timelines at each stage, rather than a percentage of cases completed within a specific time period. So that's something that I've been working on. So for example, we have a measure that we report 90% of cases are closed within 150 days, which is great, but that also doesn't tell us if the typical case takes 49 days or 149 days. It just tells us that it was within 150. So, and it also largely ignores the type of complaint or the case handling decision. So while 150 days might be a very aggressive goal for a case that goes through a full investigation, it really would be far too long for a service improvement opportunity to take. I'm currently doing a study where I'm trying to get a better sense of the timeliness of all of our cases, where the bottlenecks or lags might be in the system, and I'm relying much more on a median time lag at a particular thing. So rather than saying, we completed 90% within 150 days, I can tell you, the typical dismissal took 23 days or something like that. I think it would be a much more refined measure and tell us a lot more about the system and where improvements are needed.
But we didn't get to any fully investigated cases being completed within 120 days. Is that right?
I wouldn't be surprised.
And so I'm wondering.
Yes. On page 38, that's correct.
So is that an unrealistic expectation, or why are we taking longer than what we hoped for in 120 or 150?
So yes, I think I've got a couple of concerns, and one of my concerns is that the way these are measured in terms of just a percentage within a particular time frame ignores what could be improvement. So let's say the 90% of cases we close within 150 days, it would be a whole heck of a lot better if we were completing those in 40 days rather than 140. And we would never know that if the only way we looked at it and the only way we reported it was the percent within 150, if that makes sense.
But my concern is that percentage, we only make that percentage because of the dismissals. We're not getting to the target on any of the ones that we fully investigate.
So I think the measures need to be re-engineered. They need to focus more on median time rather than percent within a specified goal. And I think the goals need to be revisited as well.
Well, I'd like to hear some more comments on that. Thank you.
Okay. That is something I'm studying right now, much more closely.
From others,
and,
who are, because right, I know right, you're right. The numbers guy.
I'm the numbers.
You're just telling us about the measurements. From others, I'd like to hear what's happening in the investigations, that it's taking longer.
Sure.
Was that unrealistic to expect that any fully investigated investigations should be done in 120 days? Maybe that's not possible for various reasons, and should we then look at our time frame and maybe even from numbers guy, split it up into dismissals versus fully investigated cases and have two different goals?
So the effort that I'm doing right now will go far beyond the annual report data. Hopefully we'll identify some of the realisticness of the investigation timelines and things like that. I expect to be done by the end of the summer, give some feedback to the stakeholder group, and we'll see what goes from there. But yeah, my analysis would hope to answer some of those questions much beyond what we've typically relied on or been reporting in the timeliness area. And I just had one other thing to touch on as a highlight, and that is our satisfaction surveys. Our ratings for 2009 were down slightly this year overall. This is another area where I've got some data concerns, data quality concerns. We had a response rate of under 20%. It was 18%. And that's a concern to me that we really don't have a very good handle on if those 18% of the folks that respond to us really speak for everyone. I mean, how similar or dissimilar are they to the other 82% who choose not to respond? And so I don't know exactly what to make of the results we're getting, but it's been low for a while, and so I guess it's fair to compare us to past years, and we are down slightly.
So the response rate hasn't changed much over the last 5 years?
Over the last 5 years, no. Not a whole lot. We have done some efforts to increase the number that we send out the door, but we had basically the same rate coming back in.
So we recognize that one of the areas in the report that is of community concern is our dismissal rate. And so I've asked Constantine to discuss the dismissal rate and what we learn from dismissals.
Well, IPR dismisses about 60% of the cases, and there's a variety of reasons why IPR dismisses a complaint. One, whether it's sometimes the complaint's illogical, sometimes there's a timeliness issue, but the largest issue would be what's categorized as there's no misconduct, and that's basically based on the standard that we have, whether there's a likelihood that the officer engaged in misconduct and an investigation would prove that misconduct, which is a relatively high standard. So that in itself kind of explains the relatively high dismissal percentage. There recently, I think at the end of 2009, there was a decision to have cannot prove misconduct, which I think accurately reflects the rationale behind a good percentage of the dismissal reasons, as opposed to, you know, there was no misconduct, which was kind of a catch-all. I think the cannot prove misconduct is actually a much more honest and kind of transparent way of recognizing that, of, you know, if the case going from IPR referring to IED, and if IED actually decided to do an investigation, whether this case would actually end up in any discipline. So that explains, you know, the rationale for whether there is, a case gets dismissed or not. One particular case I had example with was actually several cases where I noticed that this one particular officer was involved in several complaints. I think it was within a 6-month period, there's 8 complaints involving this officer that I believe a majority of the complaints were dismissed. There's maybe one or so that went to IED for a service complaint and one possibly for investigation. But just kind of the way it works, IPR had about 405 cases last year. I believe about 80% of the cases. Mary Beth does a case of cases that end in 0 or 5, so that's about 20% of the cases. So there's about 223 officers who received one complaint. So if I recognize somebody's name, that's kind of just kind of my internal system. It's like, wow, you know, this is something that's a little bit out of the ordinary. And once I started noticing this officer's name coming up, he is in a specialty unit. So I pulled up the roster for his unit just to see if there's something within his unit of possibly having more contacts with the public, so it would generate additional contacts with the public that, you know, might be something that's slightly adversarial where persons in other units wouldn't receive it. And wouldn't receive complaints, and I looked at the unit roster, and there weren't the levels of complaints for those other officers that this particular officer received. And I did a memo basically of just all the different cases that IPR had handled, and because this is a public forum, I'm circumscribing what I'm talking about, so my apologies for that. But I did a memo describing what the allegations were, what IPR's actions were, and a lot of that allegations revolved around racial profiling, and that was the complainant's accusations against officers, but it was usually around a traffic type situation or not crossing the street at a 90-degree angle. So it'd be one of those cases where it could be relatively minor, you know, from a, let's say an officer's perspective, but from a complaints perspective, this is a very big deal to them. They're feeling that they're getting picked on in an area where somebody else wouldn't get picked on. So, and it kind of also explains why these cases ended up being dismissed, because if you took that kind of a case where, let's say, somebody failed to cross the street at a 90-degree angle, when you look at it, there's a police officer and a lot of times the complainant agreeing that, yeah, I failed to cross the street at a 90-degree angle. So, you know, that, you know, just in the kind of mechanism that we have, we're going to have to dismiss that particular complaint. But the fact that an officer is going to have eight complaints against them in a six-month period, that was troubling to me. And I did my memo, forwarded that to the unit commander and an assistant chief, and they were very proactive in talking to that officer of saying that, we understand that you're trying to do your job, and most of these allegations are dismissed, but we have a higher expectation for you of, you know, doing your job and doing it well, but at the same time of dealing with members of the community with respect and treating them like community members, and that, you know, that they belong in this community. And in the 6 months subsequent from my sending out that memo to the unit commander and the assistant chief, that particular officer didn't have a complaint. So I was surprised how effective it was, where that, you know, there wasn't any discipline meted out, but there was a kind of a direct and proactive and very quick reaction from the Bureau of Supervisors. And I, from what they told me of the meeting, the officer took it to heart, and the results kind of prove that.
So what happens when you have a lot of dismissals because it's within policy, but you look at the policy and you wonder whether that's a good policy? How do you sort that out?
Well, we have one important way of dealing with that is, like, we could talk to the Bureau ourselves if we notice that there's an issue with this particular policy. Another way is just using our partners at the CRC of saying, having a work group and looking at it in-depthly. I think one of the benefits of using the CRC to do that is, one, it's their citizen community members, and there's also more of a public process involved in that, where you can reach out to different stakeholders in the community who are able to, provide input. You know, I like to think of myself as somebody, and Mary Beth and the rest of the IPR staff as folks who are relatively well plugged into community and into Portland. But, you know, we're professionals, and, you know, we're kind of removed from that. And having the CRC members actually be involved in those, this is a few years, but the tow policy of the Bureau, which was a huge source of complaint for IPR several years ago, or the officers providing identification or the business card, which council dealt with several months ago. That used to be another issue where we would receive a lot of complaints about those particular issues. And I think there's a variety of ways that those can be dealt with, whether it's IPR or the CRC. But I found that the CRC being involved in the process, I think, is very helpful.
And how many changes in policy have happened because of IPR or CRC recommendations? Do we track that?
Well, the CRC currently has a tracking list that they are working on making being more accurate about that. And we've actually discussed that we need to do a better job of tracking that as well. One example of where IPR was involved in a task force with the Bureau that also involved CRC members was, of course, the force task force, and that led to several recommendations to the Bureau to change their force policy, which, of course, they have.
Other presentation?
No, just open to questions.
Other discussion from council? Let's go to public comment.
With three people signed up, please come on up. Debbie Iona, Dan Handelman, and Demos Abaddon.
Good evening.
Actually, I'm sorry. I forgot that
Michael Bigham was here to speak on behalf of CRC and to continue the presentation. I'm sorry.
Oh, so we got more presenter.
So if you wouldn't mind taking a seat in the audience, and Michael is always succinct.
Yes, I will be brief. Thank you. Yeah. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Michael Bigham. I'm the chair of the CRC. I'd like to thank you for giving me a moment to speak about this. I'd also like to thank IPR Director Baptista and Auditor LaVon Griffith-Vivaldi for their support during the last year. I saw 2009 as a year of gathering strength and hard work for the CRC, willingness to ask hard questions and push the police bureau for answers. And I think a lot of our hard work bore fruit this year in terms of you had three work group reports come before you. One is disparate treatment, structure review, and PARC. We also worked very hard on outreach. And I'm particularly proud of our public forum we held in February, which was planned in 2009 on police accountability and James Chassie. And we did that without any staff support from the IPR or the auditor or fiscal support from. And so I'm very proud of our outreach committee for really working hard to doing that. I was disappointed that nobody from city government made an appearance, but we have another community forum in October in Northeast Portland, and I'd like to see somebody from there. I'd like to invite all of you to attend to our community forum. You ask about changes in policy with the police tow work group. There were 13 changes in policy. We've also done policy changes in rudeness and profanity. If there's one criticism I've heard recently about the CRC, it's that certain segments of the local community are underrepresented. And I actually think that that's a valid criticism. And one thing I think that the members of the council can do, especially members of the council that haven't nominated people for to be on the CRC, is to reach out to those segments of the community that are underrepresented and nominate representatives to be on the CRC during the next cycle, which will begin in October. So, again, thank you for your support.
Well, thank you for your work, Michael. And I want to respond to your invitation as to why I didn't come to your forum, and I probably won't be at the next one. Mm-hmm. And that is because there is a certain amount of distrust in the community of city government and indeed city officials. Right. And it was very important to me that citizens felt comfortable to talk to fellow citizens and that you then report to us on what you heard, which I read your report, every word of it. This is a very delicate issue, and so we want to provide a variety of opportunities for citizens to talk to each other, to talk to council, to come to council, for us to go to them. And I greatly appreciate your service in providing that particular forum and your outreach in a number of different ways.
Okay, thank you.
So I think I brought this up at previous meetings, and I'm interested in, I think, the process. And the endeavor is at a point where it can begin to answer this question. I don't think it necessarily was in previous years. And the work that Commissioner Randy Leonard has underway, I think, can help inform that as well. But the definitions of success, mm-hmm. What percentage of, we heard 223 complaints out of however many police officers are actually on the force at the time that number was captured. We've heard that, and this is true for all bureaus, not just this one, that sort of the markers of success or the way that statistics are gathered seem kind of arbitrary. Mm-hmm. But I'm really interested in the CRC helping to define success in terms that are going to speak to the average Portlander, if there is such a thing. And I'd like to see that as a priority for you all to give back to us with a recommendation on what success looks like on this.
OK. Okay, and you're talking in terms of connecting with the community. Is that where you're coming from, or?
I think as police commissioner, what success looks like for the Bureau.
Okay.
And as it relates to the IPR process itself, what does success look like? The early on, back in the stone ages of this effort, there was, and so I was glad to hear tonight that you're looking at sort of capturing and putting as part of your report in the future the sort of policy work that you, improvements that you facilitated. Early on, that was a really key part, a deliverable, and considered a key measurement of success. And I think under Gary, it also was important to him. So whatever it is for the IPR, both in terms of success as you measure change or improvement, but then just what's success for the customer? I put that in quotations.
Okay.
And Michael, I'd like your opinion as to why the complaint investigation satisfaction has gone down.
I think a lot of it has to do with what's going on in the media in terms of kind of the big picture things that are going on, the shootings and deaths in custody. I think that that colors everybody's opinion of not only the police bureau, but of IPR and their effectiveness.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Three of you would please come up. Hi, welcome. Who signed up first? Go ahead.
First, would it be possible to have 5 minutes this evening?
Yes.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Adams and commissioners. I'm Debbie Iona, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League appreciates the IPR's commitment to publishing annual reports on a regular basis and the value staff places on informing the public of its work. The League believes in the citizens' right to know and that democratic government depends on informed and active participation at all levels of government. Regular reporting on the work of public agencies provides the community with the information it needs to understand and effectively influence the government that serves them. The 2009 report is even-handed in tone, which is welcome. The reduction in content is, however, a concern. Past reports presented a much richer picture of the workings of our oversight system and a clearer explanation of the types of police actions of community concern. Examples of items we would like to see added back to future reports include summaries of appealed cases and their outcomes, a sampling of other cases investigated by the Internal Affairs Division, the breakdown of complaints by precinct, and the detailed breakdown of citizen-initiated allegations with data on the number sustained and not sustained. We understand IPR's desire to streamline the annual report, but that needs to be balanced with providing comprehensive information about the IPR and IAD so the public can measure their effectiveness and better understand how our complicated system works. Furthermore, information on individual complaints against police, discipline imposed, and related policy issues provides the community with a window into the police bureau. When time permits, we recommend that the CRC assign a work group to review completed reports and advise the IPR on what information and data the public will find useful in the future. The report itself raised some issues and questions we would like to share with you. There is an ongoing expert analysis of the James Chassie Jr. death, but other close cases that have taken place since the end of 2005 have yet to be examined. Previous reviews have led to a number of constructive policy recommendations. We urge the auditor to get the RFP process started for those cases. The number of complaints received declined again this year. There is no way to know if this is because community members are more satisfied with their encounters with the police or if they do not trust the oversight system. When resources permit, the League recommends contracting with an outside expert to develop a survey instrument that would result in a more accurate assessment of the system and include individuals who had contact with the police but did not file complaints. The percentage of non-investigated minor complaints increased this year and accounts for 58% of cases referred to IAD. Given the significant numbers, an option for a complainant-requested review or reconsideration should be explored. The number of cases that went to mediation is at an all-time low. It would be interesting to know if IPR understands why people are not choosing that option. IPR reports the rate at which cases are sustained at 22% and bases this figure on the number of IAD investigated cases with a sustained finding. The 2008 performance review and the CRC structure review report both recommend basing the sustained rate as a percentage of all complaints. Thank you for considering our views. Again, we appreciate the IPR's commitment to serve the public and are confident the staff will work with interested community members and the CRC to continue to improve the annual reports. Thanks.
And I would also ask that you and the league propose, and you did, but you only had 5 minutes, but propose for us measures of success, not just categories of measures of success, but if you have any insight or you've been on this topic for a long time, you've got a lot of expertise. It doesn't have to be perfect, but just give us an idea of how we should start against what measure we're going to judge progress or lack of progress. Okay, Mr. Handelman.
I'm also hoping I can request 5 minutes this evening.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. We released an analysis of this year's IPR annual report and called it a mixed bag of useful and buried information, neutral reporting, and public relations. On the whole, the new report is geared less toward touting the IPR statistics as achievements, which we noticed in 2007 and 2008. There's less of an implication, for instance, that the drop in complaints, the drop in use of force complaints and officer-involved shootings from 2007 to 2009 was the result of IPR's work. However, IPR ignored, for example, that only one of 27 cases investigated by the Internal Affairs Division was completed by the Bureau within the five-month guideline. The report also continues to bump up certain statistics and trends, including the sustain rate, while leaving the report's back pages. In the report's back pages, information that the satisfaction rate with the IPR has gone down while the dissatisfaction rate has remained at 50%. This year's report states the fact that the number of complaints went down from 771 in 2005 to 405 in 2009, and there was only one officer-involved shooting, no deaths in custody in 2009, and they, you know, maintain a neutral tone by reporting it just as facts. But there's still no way to know whether the consultant's report from January 2008, Eileen Luna Fireball's report, or other factors may have led to a broader mistrust of the whole system, or if perhaps the police are not committing as many acts of misconduct. One of the downsides of the neutrality is that by selectively choosing the facts, the system appears to be functioning better than it really is. And this was already mentioned, I'm going to go into more detail. The sustain rate that the IPR says is that 22% of cases fully investigated by the police bureau ignores that only 37% of all the complaints that they receive are turned over to internal affairs in the first place. And internal affairs only investigates 17% of those complaints. So depending on the number used for all overall complaints, the actual sustaining rate is somewhere between 2.8% and 8.1%. And I can, you have two pieces of paper. The orange one is what I'm reading from. The white one has the more detailed analysis of that. Sure. We also noted that what used to be called service complaints have climbed from being used by internal affairs 34 to 54% of the time from 2002 to 2006 to 51 to 60% of the time in 2007 to 2009. These minor complaints are for violations of policy that do not normally rise to the level of discipline, but we think the bureaus are depending on them too frequently. For instance, disparate treatment, which is when law enforcement treats somebody differently or otherwise uses race or some other factor inappropriately in a police action, is one of the most serious offenses an officer can commit. Yet only one racial profiling case has been sustained since 2002, and that was in 2007. The community might expect this behavior should result in discipline, but 10 racial profiling cases were handled as minor complaints in 2009 and 7 in 2008. One result of the 2009 report being slimmed down, and I just want to point out that this is the 2004 report here, and this is the 2008 report here. So it was already slimmed down quite seriously, and now it's slimmed down to the 2009 report. So we're losing a lot of information that we had before, and it makes it more difficult to fairly see what's going on inside the Bureau or at the IPR. The good thing is in a few places IPR does cite specific examples of complaints and how they were handled, including one that involved allegations of force and improper stop and search, and one involving a violation of the Bureau's foot pursuit policy. And they also mentioned specifically by name James Chassie as being a person who died in police custody who's being investigated. And that's the first time that I know of that a person's name who was on the other side of the baton was listed in one of these reports. So we think that's very important because the community, these are just numbers and words. But when you talk about this is what happened to somebody in the community, or this is what somebody in the community says happened to them, it makes it more real about why we have this system in the first place. And there's very, very few examples like that. And I think Debbie mentioned already, they used to list under the Citizen Review Committee the details of all the appeals they heard, what was the case about, but they don't do that anymore, and I don't know why. On the upside, they didn't even note this. One of the reasons they had so many more appeals this year is that the IPR director, after she was hired, agreed to start putting the appeal forms in with the disposition letter, something we've been complaining about for years. And she did it, and now the CRC is hearing more cases. So, again, we want to give them credit where it's due, and that's one of the things we appreciate. The IPR report continues to talk about how they have the ability to do independent investigations, even though we all know that's never been done, and I think it's just misleading to leave that fact hanging out there without also noting that it still has never been done. We have a number of questions and concerns we raised in the longer report. One of the things that we've recommended in the past was that they put a table of all the recommendations in the annual report, which other jurisdictions do, that say whether it was adopted or not by the Bureau, and that might satisfy some of the council's questions.
And I too would ask, there are a few people in the nation, I have to believe, that are as knowledgeable about these kinds of issues, not only our local version, but others. And if I'd as well welcome your thoughts on how do we determine success. It's, I had my sister look at this and asked her what she thought, and she could not tell. I mean, she couldn't get any sense of, because some graphs show great improvement, but there seems to be a lot of concerns still expressed. I think we need to communicate. I think we need to get to the point where we decide what we're aiming for here. So I'd ask for your input as well. Thanks. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me over today, Mayor Adams, commissioners. I only need 5 minutes, only maybe a couple of minutes. I just had a brief concerns and questions I wanted to address to you, but mainly to IPR. IPR mentioned that they do that many complaints are usually resolved within 150 days, whether or not that may be too short or too long, depending on the cases, is one issue. But I would also like to know if IPR could maintain contact with those who complain as well. Many times people are having to call them, and just in either get a voicemail, hopefully someone will call them back. And people are all along just wondering what may be going on, So if IPR could also maintain contact with people who set out complaints, that would be highly appreciated also. If IPR staff, as their name might imply, independent police review, or if they're able to conduct interviews or make contact directly with officers against whom complaints have been made, independent of internal affairs or those officers' direct commanders. And also, Mayor Adams, since you've taken on the direct role of a police commissioner, how might you regard or address future instances of police conduct, police abuse, particularly some of the more egregious or public cases, which would definitely draw your attention more. It would be nice. I would definitely love to see you get on top of these things and address them more publicly and take a more hands-on approach, you know, as well. Earlier in the year, many people made the comments that the mayor of Portland didn't really address the recent killing of Aaron Campbell until J.C. Jackson came into town, and it was only then that many people that you addressed it, as well as Salzman, in a real public way. Whether or not that may be the case, actually, that's the perception that a lot of people do have. So I would just like to see the commissioners get on top of these things more, in a more direct and more public way. And that's what I had to say about that, as well as regarding independent police review. And thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony.
Could you just give us your name, please?
Damus Abaddon.
Thank you for coming in. That was very helpful.
Thank
you.
Anyone
else wish to testify? Okay. This is a report. I'll entertain a motion to accept the report.
Could I just ask a question? I move to accept the report.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to accept the report. We'll now have discussion on that.
Could I just ask staff a question?
Of course. Which one? Take your pick.
I'm interested in your response to some of the suggestions that we heard to add back some details. I recognize the need to make it easy to read, but as the mayor said.
The breakdown by precinct is one that we will bring back. That's important to the Bureau. It was important to the community. The reason we didn't have it in this report was because of the precinct reconfiguration. The data just wouldn't have been comparable, and it just seemed to make more sense to just take a break from that for a year. Regarding the summary of appeals, I looked at that again because I believe that we did put more information in there than we actually ended up on the cutting room floor, if you will. I think it's because we had so many that began in 2009 but weren't resolved until early this year that most of them were really brief. But we'll be sure to add more content to those because I do think that those are important for the community to see which cases are being appealed. And as for, I believe the allegation breakdown by complainant, there were certain graphs that combined other graphs within the report, and those were the ones we tried to eliminate, those that had multiple moving parts. So what we tried to do is give all of the data, but some of the ways that we had graphs in there to compare two or three different graphs were confusing for the graphs themselves, required a lot of explanation and text. And so those were the ones that we tried to remove. So although some are obviously missing, the data that was included in that, we tried to make sure that at least somewhere that data was reported. But we will, again, we anticipate that next year's annual report is going to look very different than this year's annual report, basically based on all of the significant changes that have been made to IPR that need explaining. I think it'll have an entirely new set of data points and problems that we're going to have to address because of how we change the system midstream too. So we're constantly working on improving it. We have no problems with going back to the commissioners, to the mayor, to the community, to CRC, to say what did you like or not like about this report and try again. We are open to survey improvements. We were going to take that on last year. That was much discussion last year, the annual report. But frankly, with all of what we ended up doing in 2010, that was clearly put on the back burner. But I was confident that that would be raised again, and we are going to look into better survey research methods.
And can the citizens do the survey online, or is it just a paper
survey? No, we can't. And that's one of the things that we were going to look at. That was one of the things we were going to look at working, because we know that there's many, you know, SurveyMonkey and all these kind of new media that's able to be more accessible.
Yeah, I know if I have to get something into an envelope with a stamp into the mailbox, it's much less likely I'm going to be able to do
it. And frankly, I think that we haven't done an analysis on this, and I know that I shouldn't say things that we don't have real numbers on, but it feels that a lot of the population that we are working with don't have a stable address, and that email is a more and more prevalent of how we communicate with people. So,
can people appeal online?
Yes.